Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where one of the great questions confronting American voters is who exactly are they going to be voting for in terms of the underside of the ticket? Are they going to be voting for Biden and Kamala Harris, or Biden and Stacey Abrams, or Biden and Gretchen Whitmer? Biden and who exactly? But there's another question. It's a question that is raised in a provocative piece by a scholar at the University of Virginia at the Center for Politics at UVA, the editor of Sabato's Crystal Ball. His name is Kyle Condick, and he writes a piece about the Trump-Pence ticket and about some speculation that Mike Pence might not be the nominee after all. Kyle Condick, thanks very much for joining us on the Medved Show. Before we get to the speculation about Mike Pence, can we talk a little bit about the obvious choice that stands before Joe Biden? Do you agree with the conventional wisdom that, given the fact that Biden has promised and promised and promised he will choose a female running mate, do you agree that he will, in fact, choose a female running mate?
Well, thanks for having me. And yeah, I do think he will. And, you know, typically vice presidential choices, be it on the Democratic or Republican side, you know, they usually have a lot of experience in kind of high-level offices. So be it, for instance, the Democrats almost always seem to pick senators. 15 of the last 18 Democratic VP picks were sitting senators. A little bit more diversity in terms of background on the Republican side. But, you know, someone like Mike Pence was a sitting governor of Indiana. He also had a decade plus in the U.S. House. And so, you know, there's usually a lot of elected experience for these VP picks. And, you know, 30, 40 years ago, there just really weren't that many women actually in high-level elected office. But there are now on both sides of the aisle, particularly for the Democrats. And so Biden does have a lot of women with traditional backgrounds in terms of elected experience that he can choose from, given the history and also the names he's considering, a lot of senators he's considering.
So let me, we're talking about a supporting actress. I mean, in an Oscar terms, every year when they handicap the Oscar vote, they say who will win for the supporting actress alongside Joe Biden and who should win. Who do you think he will end up picking, and who do you think would be the most effective choice of the women who are on the short list for Joe Biden?
You know, I've sort of thought about Amy Klobuchar, the Minnesota senator, as being a logical choice. Kind of fits ideologically with Biden in that she is, you know, she's perceived as being kind of in the middle of her own party, I think just the same way that Joe Biden is. It doesn't necessarily make them centrist, but they're also not, they're not kind of far left people within the Democratic Party too. So I thought that she's made a lot of sense, and Kamala Harris, I think, makes a lot of sense. You know, I thought it was kind of funny that when Klobuchar endorsed Biden a couple months ago in advance of Super Tuesday, she had this kind of gaffe in which she said that she was joining the ticket, and then she amended to say that she was, you know, joining the team or whatnot. But I thought it was kind of funny, and I thought it might have been something of a Freudian slip. But, you know, ultimately, you know, only Biden knows who he's going to pick, and he may not know himself at this point. But I think if I were to have to rank them in terms of likeliest to pick, I think I'd probably go with Klobuchar. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that pick. Now, I think there's some thinking that Biden is sort of weak on the left, and maybe that should prompt him to pick a you know, more liberal candidate. You know, there are some possibilities there as well. But, you know, I think, again, Klobuchar may be the likeliest pick. And honestly, I don't necessarily know if it'd be a bad pick, although, you know, no single candidate is going to check every single box, too.
Right. Well, what about the idea, and you hear this all over, about the black turnout being a problem? and the need that many people feel for him to consider one of the African American candidates or prospects for vice president, and they usually are listed as Susan Rice, former national security advisor, and Senator Harris, who you mentioned, Kamala Harris, and Val Demings, a congresswoman from Florida, and Stacey Abrams. My personal opinion is Stacey Abrams would sink the ticket. I think she is a walking disaster in every regard. I don't know if you are allowed to agree.
Well, I would say that whatever one thinks of Abrams, she does not have the traditional kind of background to be a vice president, and that she does have a lot of state government experience. She was the minority leader in the Georgia State House, but she doesn't have, you know, she doesn't have U.S. House, Senate, governor experience. And, you know, Harris
or
has only been in the Senate for a few years. She was the California Attorney General, which is a big statewide elected post. Now, there is some evidence that, you know, African-American turnout was down in 2016. I think part of the reason was that Obama kind of hypercharged African-American turnout, which makes perfect sense as the, you know, first African-American president. And there is some thought amongst the political scientists who study this that if, in fact, Biden were to choose an African-American on the ticket, that that might actually have some positive impact on African-American turnout. And look, in a close election, that could be important, not just in states with significant African-American populations like North Carolina or Georgia or Florida, but also there's a significant black vote across the industrial Midwest as well, in places like Milwaukee and Detroit and Cleveland and Philadelphia, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely crucial places for either President Trump or Joe Biden to carry. Let's go over to the Republican side for a moment, because that was the piece that I wrote about. I'm speaking with Kyle Condit of the Institute for Politics, Center for Politics at the University of Virginia. Kyle, why would President Trump, who has said he's 100% picking Mike Pence, why would he go back on that or even consider going back on that?
Well, one of the things that I think is interesting about the Pence decision, and I mean, I don't think that Trump is going to pick a new running mate. I was writing about that, but I did think it was at least worth exploring. And, you know, beyond some of the obvious things, in that the president, there's been a lot of turnover at the administration, and the president himself, I think, can be just kind of a wild card, and might want to shuffle the deck on his running mate. I do think that in 2016, Pence brought something important to the ticket, in that, you know, a big part of the Republican electoral calculus is getting good turnout and a kind of a landslide share of the vote amongst white evangelical Christians. And sure enough, the president did extremely well with that group. He won, according to the exit poll, he won white evangelical Christians 80% to 16%. So really a landslide margin, and even a little bit better than other recent Republican presidential nominees had performed. And, you know, I think there will, you know, if you maybe looked at it, you know, 4 years ago at this time, when Trump had just effectively become the presumptive Republican nominee, I think there was a little bit of doubt amongst social conservatives. I mean, a lot of different parts of the Republican Party, but, you know, specifically social conservatives were concerned that Trump might not pursue the kinds of issues, conservative positions on things like abortion and other social issues when he was president. I think Pence, as a kind of a well-established social conservative and evangelical Christian, I think Pence was probably helpful in that regard. And you never know, if Trump had picked somebody else, if he would have gotten the same level of support.
No doubt. We only have a minute left. President Trump selected someone else, do you care to speculate?
Well, look, I think that the bottom line is, I think the president probably can count on social conservative evangelical Christian support this time. So maybe if he were to lose Pence, if he were to drop Pence, that wouldn't really cost him anything. And maybe he could use the VP pick to appeal to a different group with whom he's not as strong.
That's Kyle Condit of the University of Virginia. We've posted his piece speculating on the likelihood, and he agrees it's likely, that there will be a repeat of the Trump-Pence ticket. When we come back, Stacey Abrams should be ruled out, but especially after you hear what she just said. We'll get to that coming up on the Mendez Show. Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com? They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kanger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, we are going to be speaking with a reporter, researcher for National Review, who has dug deep into the scandalous, the outrageous charges by Tara Reid about being the victim of a sexual assault by Joe Biden. Is there anything to that? Will that play a role in the campaign? Stay tuned when we speak to Dan McLaughlin coming up. First up, I mentioned that Stacey Abrams Stacey Abrams would be a disaster on the Democratic ticket. Yesterday I shared with you part of a column by Mark Thiessen, who's one of my favorite nationally syndicated columnists. And Mark Thiessen said she would be the Sarah Palin of the Democratic Party. Except I think that's an insult to Sarah Palin. Stacey Abrams is very far radical. She is completely unprepared for the presidency. And sure, she is a smart lady, and I'm sure her bodice ripper novels, which is basically how she's made a living, not in business, not in law, but writing romance novels. And good for her. I mean, I'm all for making a living writing books. It's basically been my line of work since I was a kid. But Stacey Abrams worried about the census and about how the census is going to turn out. Listen to her as she explains why.
You can eliminate anyone who is not a citizen, meaning someone who's a resident, a green card holder, or undocumented. What you're left with then in the United States today is that 50% of the population under the age of 18, or sorry, under the age of 15 is communities of color. If you remove them from the calculation, then what that means is that you create a whiter and therefore more Republican voting base. And under the Constitution, if they are not counted as part of the population, you are not committing discrimination if you don't include them in the drawing of those lines, which means a school board that has a predominantly Latino population in Arizona, but a number of those kids are undocumented or their families are, they are now no longer able to elect anyone who represents them because of the way the lines are drawn. This weaponization is not only intentional, it is continuing.
Okay, there's so much that's wrong with that. I mean, just on a factual basis, there's so much that's wrong with it. First of all, she's assuming that communities of color are overwhelmingly non-citizens? Is that her assumption? And the idea, the one thing that I think she may be trying to communicate, but she's making a complete mess of it, is that unless everyone is counted, then the reapportionment or the official numbers of people gets messed up. And listen, the way the Constitution is drawn, the Constitution counts for representation purposes. In other words, even if you are a non-citizen, even if you are here without legal authorization, you are counted in the census toward creating representation in your congressional district. But you're not allowed to vote. Only citizens are allowed to vote in the United States. And I haven't heard anyone, not even Stacey Abrams, talk about trying to change that. And her entire obsession with voting suppression. She lost the Georgia governor's race by more than 50,000 votes. It was not a squeaker. It was decisive. And Brian Kemp, by the way, has been a very good governor of Georgia, and he got a bunch of hostility for opening up Georgia relatively early, for walking away a little bit from the more strict lockdown rules. And Brian Kemp should be getting a lot of I told you so rights, because things seem to be going very well in Georgia, as they are in Florida for Ron DeSantis. But for Stacey Abrams to harp on this, what demographic is she appealing to? I mean, seriously. By the way, it is not true, it has never been true, that the majority of the Latino community is illegal. About one half of all Latino Americans, including undocumented, are citizens. And then there's another very big chunk that are here as legal residents on their way to citizenship. And the whole idea of suggesting that communities of color are non-citizens, it's appalling. And on a vice presidential ticket, I don't think there's any question that Stacey Abrams would help to sink the Biden campaign, as if that needed any help. We have clip number 9, Jeremy, where Joe Biden, still in isolation, is actually looking on the bright side of the pandemic. Nice try. Here's what he had to say.
From this pandemic, you can remake the world as it should be. To see COVID-19 as a force majeure that compels us to rewrite the social contract that's been scrambled by nature's fury and human failures. You can set the terms for an economy, healthcare system, education system, immigration system, and a justice system that uplifts more people of every race, gender, and generation. You can build a truly representative democracy with more facts than lies, less money and more people in the voting process. You can win the race against climate change by writing the laws and structures that the deals that to rally the rest of the world to build a safer, more resilient, and sustainable future.
Okay, this is a great opportunity to rewrite the social contract. If you wanted to rewrite the social contract, the terms of agreement that bind you to society, would you hire Joe Biden as your lawyer at this stage in his career to rewrite that social contract? This is not. See, he obviously is trying to reach out to the Bernie bro constituency, the people who want to see sweeping, comprehensive, all-encompassing change. And this on a day when Politico is just covering a story that Elizabeth Warren is pivoting away from Medicare for All in a bid for her to become Joe Biden's running mate for the vice presidency. Look, I guess to some extent you could say that if he were to pick someone like a Kamala Harris, I don't think he's going to pick Kamala Harris, because the video that exists of that debate in which Kamala Harris just ripped him and all but accused him of racism because he rightly opposed forced busing back in the 70s, that clip would be used again and again in ads against him. There's something else that could be used in ads against him. The charges by Tara Reid. How will they play in this election? We'll talk to Dan McLaughlin of National Review on that coming up.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from Natural Botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
All gates remain closed as an active shooter has been neutralized at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi, leaving one security force member injured. The facility has been on lockdown since early Thursday morning. Senators are looking into the impacts of coronavirus on the elderly.
COVID-19 has brought tremendous hardship and tragedy, and imposing a deadly toll on seniors in particular.
Opening a hearing, Maine Republican Susan Collins noting the ongoing problems in nursing homes. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is asking President Trump for a federal emergency declaration to help the response to this week's catastrophic flooding in Midland County. The area has seen 6 to 8 inches of rain over the last 48 hours, causing two dams to fail. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Statement about efforts to stop the slaughter. That was the record of Woodrow Wilson during the Spanish flu outbreak that claimed at least 50 million lives around the world. The pandemic began in 1918. While Wilson was singularly focused on World War I, American soldiers sailing to European battlefields nonetheless helped spread the virus. President Wilson let mayors handle isolation and mitigation efforts in this country, and no federal strategy ever emerged. Whatever one thinks of President Trump's response in confronting coronavirus, he unequivocally affirms the need for an activist federal role. Compared to his predecessor's monumental failure 102 years ago, Trump deserves credit for his fierce focus on the challenge to health and prosperity. Michael Medved show. The Tara Reid allegations have been sitting there for months now, and they have not yet derailed the Joe Biden campaign. I would have thought it would have been more of a problem. And finally, there is something very well researched, extremely authoritative, well thought out by and it's written by a recovering attorney, who is also a senior writer for National Review. And the title of the article by Dan McLaughlin is What You Need to Know About Tara Reid's Credibility. Okay, Dan, if I were forcing you to undertake the very difficult task of condensing a very substantial, lengthy, carefully researched article into one, say, 60-second conclusion, what do we need to know about Tara Reid's credibility?
Well, I think three things. First of all, you know, this allegation, very much like Christine Blasey Ford's allegation against Justice Kavanaugh, is in that gray area where there is really, it's a pure he said, she said, there's no corroborating hard evidence for or against the claims, so we really are kind of on our own judging the credibility based on, you know, secondary things like, you know, who did she tell, what are her motives, or what other estimates can we make of her credibility. Secondly, you know, I think the strongest part of Reid's case, which is very different from Christine Blasey Ford's, is that she does appear to have told a number of people, some version at least, and in some cases what sounds like, according to these secondhand witnesses, you know, a highly similar version of her current story as far back as 1993 to 1996. So if these other witnesses, friends and family of hers, are to be believed, then this is certainly not a last-minute invention. Blasey Ford, on the other hand, you know, she named other people who were supposedly there who were not able to back her up, including one of her close friends. Her own father said he didn't believe her story. So on that score, Reed has more going for her. The third thing would be the question of Reed's own credibility, and there she's on shakier ground. You know, there's a fair amount of evidence that this is somebody who, I mean, first of all, came forward only telling part of her story a year ago, and has shifted that. And secondly, you know, somebody who has, I think has a fairly sketchy past. Now, that doesn't always mean that somebody is lying, but you do put a more skeptical eye on what they're telling you if there's somebody who has maybe, you know, done and said some fairly shaky things in the past.
Are you surprised, given, I mean, watching her on Megyn Kelly, and I think it's a major televised interview she's given, she sounded surprisingly convincing, and one of the things you acknowledge in your piece is, even though that's an irrational basis for understanding this kind of thing, it's the way people react. So in that regard, Dan McLaughlin, are you surprised that this has not seemed to damage the Biden campaign more than it has?
Yeah, a little bit, although it's not really all that surprising that, you know, that the media and Biden's allies have tried to a certain extent to circle the wagons around him, that it took, for example, a month, more than a month for the New York Times and the Washington Post to even cover this story. But, you know, I mean, look, and Blasey Ford also came across as fairly credible if you only listened to her testimony and didn't put it under a skeptical examination. But
the one thing that I insist on, and I think it's really important that people do this, what Blasey Ford was alleging was a groping over the clothes. Clothes were never removed or weren't reached under the clothes. And it was from a 17-year-old drunken high school student. Here we're talking about a 50-year-old U.S. senator supposedly in an alcove in the Capitol building. You know, it's a completely different level. One action is clearly criminal. The other is shameful, but far less serious, don't you think?
Well, again, it depends. It depends whether that depends in part on, I mean, because Blasey Ford's story was fairly, I think, dramatic if you took the most, you know, favorable reading of it to her. I mean, one of my beliefs about a lot of these stories is that you have to consider the possibility that maybe you're being told a version of the truth, but not something that is exaggerated from what actually happened. Now, obviously, here you have, as in that case, you know, both sides digging in a way that neither of them is willing to admit the possibility that that the truth lies somewhere in between, but sometimes it does. And, you know, particularly if you are dealing with, say, drunken teenagers, there's more of a possibility of that, although in that case, basically everybody other than her denied that any such incident had even happened.
Right. And again, this is... But this is also, you also in your article, you have the recollections of Ben Savage, who had the desk next to Tara Reid in the Joe Biden office in the Senate. And he basically debunks every detail she gives about her story, about how she was fired. He basically says she was an incompetent employee, which, given the rest of her background, that sounds perfectly credible, doesn't it?
It's entirely possible. Of course, it's also entirely possible that she was not a particularly competent employee and that she was sexually harassed or sexually abused. So those two things aren't completely incompatible. And I think CNN actually has another piece out, I think just today, where they were talking to Savage and he's now telling some other story about how Reed had some unspecified medical condition, which her representative doesn't seem to completely deny. But
okay,
you know,
so,
I mean,
so
I think obviously the folks around Biden who are just in complete denial mode, I'm not sure I've put a lot of weight on their credibility.
What about the impact on Biden's race? I know that at the time that this first came up, there was some speculation that this might lead to some buyer's remorse on the part of some of the Democrats who just nominated the guy. That appears not to be the case. Do you think this will have a seriously damaging impact on his campaign?
I mean, I think it will probably have some lingering effect on, you know, some of the kinds of voters who were drawn to the Democrats because they've looked at, you know, the Kavanaugh story. They've looked at charges against Trump and how Trump talks about and treats women. And they've talked themselves into the idea that the Democrats are really better than this and that they believe in some higher standard. And, you know, I think some of those voters, particularly young women, are going to be disillusioned. Looking at basically the party closing ranks around Biden, as really everyone other than, you know, the real hardcore Bernie true believers are. As to whether that's really going to have a major impact, that's harder to say. It may not be the largest number of voters. I think we're often, particularly these days, tend to overestimate how many voters are persuadable, even on the worst possible stories about their candidates.
Which is an interesting point. Dan McLaughlin, I appreciate your joining us on the MedVet Show. I hope you will come back, because this story isn't going away. We've posted Dan's piece, What You Need to Know About Tara Reade's Credibility. It's at our website, michaelmedved.com. Coming up, news about a shooting at a Corpus Christi Naval Air Station, terror-related. We'll get to that coming up. This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Grovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 at AmericanFederal.com.
Maybe you're skeptical that Relief Factor, 100% drug-free Relief Factor, can really help you get out of pain. I can understand if Relief Factor were a brand new product. Sure, I'd be skeptical too. But Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, started the company almost 7 years ago. And we've been talking about it all that time, virtually every day. And now tens of thousands of people have ordered the 3-week quick start and are taking it every day to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is here to stay for a very good reason. So go ahead, be a little skeptical, but I suggest you might become like me and so many others who've tried it, a believer. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee pain, or back pain in my case, from just getting older, exercise, or everyday living, the 3-week quick start is discounted to only $19.95. It's like a trial pack. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Michael Medved Show breaking news. We just have the basics right now. The Naval Air Station Corpus Christi was attacked today, this morning, in a terror-related attack, and ABC is reporting that a person of interest may be at large. There was one guard who suffered, thank God, minor injuries in the shooting. The shooting that injured that one security guard at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi in Texas this morning has determined to be terror-related. The shooter, who has not been identified, we will let you know when he is, was shot dead, but a second person of interest may be at large, the FBI reported. FBI officials issued a statement that the public should remain calm, and if you see something, say something. The shooting unfolded at 6:15 a.m. local time when the suspect sped through a gate, activating vehicle barriers, which stopped the car. That's what a defense official told ABC News. And Texas has been neutralized, the U.S. Navy said in a statement. One member of the Naval Security Forces has been injured, but that sailor is in good condition. The fate of the shooter was not immediately known, this according to CNN. Well, ABC says he's dead. The base was put on lockdown after Naval Security Forces responded to reports of an active shooter around 6:15 a.m. Central Time, according to the Navy. The suspect attempted to rush the security gate with a vehicle, but apparently there were vehicle barriers that were activated and that stopped the car. Look, it's with so much else that the country is facing right now, with our economy, with our unemployment, with the country itself just beginning the process of reopening. The tendency to just forget about terrorism and forget about the ongoing threat of terrorism, I think, is very high. But we don't know anything about the identity of the would-be terrorist here. But when they say it's terror-related, that seems to suggest he may be connected to an established terror group. It's fairly quick and prompt for the FBI to indicate the terror connection. The previous shooting at a naval air station in Pensacola by that Saudi officer who was supposed to be training with the Americans, it's very well established he had deep al-Qaeda connections. He never should have been accepted in this country. He should have been vetted more carefully. We will bring you any of the latest as it becomes available. Kellyanne Conway was on Fox, and she actually, this is clip number three, Jeremy. And Kellyanne actually spoke a little bit about the reopening of the country in all 50 states and what it means, and how one of the administration's focuses is going to be on helping to repair some of the damage that's been done in this whole process. Listen.
Well, Ed, first on the most important factor here, which is 50 states now have some kind of reopening plan. We've been working with all those governors. I was on the governor's call with the president, the vice president, first lady, two short days ago. One of the components discussed there was the fact that the cure cannot be worse than a disease. We have this increase in mental health challenges and suicides and drug use because we're creating a pandemic within the pandemic, and that all precious lives lost, for whatever reason, are precious lives lost. So a piece of that is making sure that the isolation, economic desperation is included, that we don't want people to feel terrified to leave their homes, and they're facing their June 1st bills now. We're closer to June than June 1st and May 1st now. They're facing these bills. So we're urging these governors to each consider mental health and other maladies as part of the reopening plan. Look, the president made very clear that the governors have the final say and the latitude to do what they think is best in certain geographic areas.
Okay, and when you talk about some of the costs to people and the suffering to people, there's a publication called the British Journal of Surgery, and they made an estimate, a worldwide estimate, not just the United States, but it's all around the world, how many elective surgeries have been postponed during the COVID-19 pandemic and the response. It's 28 million. 28 million elective surgeries. Some of those elective surgeries are enormously important to people. They involve people's ability to walk properly, to function fully. And is it possible that that kind of delay would have a negative health effect on literally millions of people? Yes. There was also this from Kellyanne Conway, the president's advisor, on the negative toll that school and church closures have had. Listen.
Also recognize keeping watch on what other places of worship and professional sports and schools and daycare centers are doing as well. The CDC has put out guidelines, but we also hear from many experts that getting our children back into an academic and social structure to give them that support. You know, Sandra and Ed, it's very heartbreaking to me to read the statistics and the anecdotes, the increase in child abuse, spousal abuse, drug abuse, mental health challenges in some places where kids with the synagogues and the mosques and the church is closed, the school's closed. Yeah. So many of these kids don't have a safe place and another adult to go and say, I'm being harmed, or I'm worried about the arguments or the alcohol use, whatever it is. We have to make sure that when we're, quote, getting back to normal reopening, we put these kids first. We're listening to the scientists and the economists as well. But it's so exciting for this country to feel that people who are qualified to go back to work, they're in low infection rates, they have supply surge, hospital capacity, they haven't been impacted or exposed. They don't know anybody's been impacted or exposed, and they want to get back to work. They want the dignity of work. We are slowly and safely doing that, and I have to say, for as an American, we should all be happy how much collaboration there has been with all these governors, right, left, and center.
Okay, good for her, and that is an optimistic view. We will get to, during the next hour, an exception to that cooperation and sanity. The exception, unfortunately, is in Minnesota, where Governor Tim Walz, a very liberal Democrat, announced steps for easing restrictions on bars, on restaurants, on hair salons, and barbershops, all starting June 1st. That's great. Churches didn't make the cut. The restaurants will be able to serve up to 50 people if they are serving outside. But for churches, outside or inside, you're not allowed to have more than 10 people at a time. Is that going to stand? Well, there are actually a group of pastors from the Lutheran Church and others, Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, that are standing up against that, saying, no, we're not going to honor this. You can't discriminate against religious institutions if you're opening up bars and restaurants and hair salons. That's an outrageous thing. And I think even people who would oppose the idea of some kind of special exception for churches, even people in the center of things, should absolutely oppose special discrimination against churches as opposed to other public institutions. We'll also be talking about a new program where the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, now wants to spend $750 million to acquire some hotels that are currently being used to house homeless people. And the way this whole campaign in California has unfolded is a gigantic scandal that deserves some public attention, it seems to me. And we will provide that public attention. There is also much more on the city of Seattle and the attempt by Mayor Durkan to interfere with the right of landlords to receive rent. How is this supposed to work? We will get to that and to much, much more. In a nation that is still coping with a pandemic, but coming along as the greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.